Welcome back to your Half Hour to Health with Dr. Mark DiBenedetto. And let me give you a little bit of background on myself. I grew up in Edison, New Jersey, graduated high school from Edison High School, and I wrestled there. Favorite sport in the world. I was a district champion, had the set the school record for the fastest pin, 8 seconds. Went on to Rutgers University and absolutely loved Rutgers, had a great experience there. Great to see them having another good football year for all my football fans. And when I graduated from Rutgers, I then went on to Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa. And for those within like the chiropractic community, that's really considered the Harvard of chiropractic. It's the fountainhead. It's where chiropractic was founded. And I graduated with cum laude honors and on the president's list. But I came back from Palmer with something more important. That's where I actually met my wife, Dr. Tammy DiBenedetto. And obviously, she's also a chiropractor. And together, we own Mifflintown Family Chiropractic. And we've been practicing there since 1991. So in the past 18 years, we've treated successfully over 5,000 patients. I would first like to thank all of you who sent me cards and emails thanking me for the first show. That was really a nice surprise. Thanks again. Today, we will continue our journey to better health with a discussion on the four essentials to health. But before we do, I want you to know I will have a limited special offer for you at the end of the show as a thank you just for listening. Now, I want to start off by telling you a story. And this is a story of a little boy, and it's called the Starfish Story. And if you can picture this, it'll really help you understand the meaning behind this story. But there was a little boy. He actually reminded me a lot of my son. He was about 10 years old. And he was walking along the beach. And as he was walking along the beach, he noticed that there were starfish that were washed up from the ocean. And what he knew was that if they didn't get back into the ocean water and the sun came up, they would basically dry up and die. So the little boy started bending down, picking up the starfish, and gently throwing them back into the ocean. And he just did this tirelessly for an hour or so. And people were walking up and down the beach, and they'd watch the little boy do this and just kind of smile and keep walking. But there was one gentleman, he was an older gentleman, and he was watching this little boy from afar for about a half hour. And at some point, he decided, I'm going to go talk to this little boy. So he did. He went up to the little boy and he simply asked him, "Son, what are you doing?" And the little boy said, "Well, I'm picking up starfish and throwing them into the ocean because if I don't, they'll die." And the older gentleman looked at him, and he didn't mean to be mean, but he just simply said, "Son, you can't possibly make a difference. Look along the coastline. There's thousands of starfish that were washed onto the beach, and they're all going to die. You can't possibly make a difference." And the little boy looked up at the older gentleman and, you know, he had a tear coming down his little cheek. And he thought for a second. And then he bent down and he picked up a starfish. And he was looking at that starfish in his hand. And he gently tossed it into the ocean. He looked up into the older gentleman's eyes and he said, "You know, it made a difference for that one." And then politely he bent down. And he continued to pick up starfish and throw them into the ocean. The older gentleman was dumbfounded at what he had just heard. That this little boy that had mesmerized him for a half hour had made such a statement. So he didn't know what else to do except bend down and pick up starfish himself. And that's exactly what he did. So him and the little boy were picking up starfish and throwing them in the ocean. And they never said a word to each other. But a strange thing happened. All of a sudden, the people who were walking along the beach stopped and started picking up starfish and throwing them in the ocean. And before you knew it, there were literally hundreds of people on the shoreline, picking up these starfish, throwing them in the ocean. You know, that's a beautiful story. And, you know, I remember something my dad told me. He said, if there's a big enough why, there is not a big enough how. And we can all make a difference, you know, if we just start. It just takes with one person deciding to make a change in their life. And my goal is to know that I will make a difference in your life. So the best thing that I can do is try to infuse you with knowledge. And that's what we're going to do today. So I want to talk about those four essentials to health. And we're going to take them one by one. We're going to dissect them, chew them up, spit them out, and hopefully you come out a better person for it. So number one would be food. You know, obviously we all need good food and nutrition. You are what you eat. But you know, when you look at what you actually put in your body, boy, it doesn't make sense. I mean, we eat a lot of fast food. We eat a lot of red meat, processed food, fried food, foods filled with sodium and sugar. We use fake sweeteners. I mean, just think about red meat. You know, most of us buy it in the supermarket, and you look at the casing and, you know, meat looks nice and red. That's really not even its color. They usually use dyes and preservatives. You know, to make our beef grow quicker so they could get it to the market faster, they fill them full of steroids. So our chickens don't get sick. They might put antibiotics in them. But unfortunately, then when we eat the meat, all those things go into our body. I can't help but think that's not very healthy for us. We eat so much processed food. You know, we're anything basically in a wrapper is not good. I mean, if you can sit it on your porch and 20 years later come back and it's still sitting there, that's probably not something good. I always say if it doesn't rot, don't eat it. And then you look at how we prepare our food, like fried food in oil. You know, it's very unhealthy. It clogs arteries. You look at how much sodium is in our food. It's unbelievable. If you just look on the back of a can of soup or even our vegetables, you'll be shocked by seeing 600, 800, 1,000 milligrams of sodium. And then we wonder, why do we have fluid retention? Why do we have high blood pressure? Why do we get headaches? Look at the amount of sugar that's in our food. You know, sugar actually increases our appetite. So as bad as it is for us, it actually makes you more hungry. If you've ever eaten a bowl of cereal that was a really sugar-filled cereal, like, I don't know, a sugar-frosted Wheats or something like that, or one of the kids' cereals, you'll actually be hungry a half hour later. Then they put the fake sweeteners in. And I tell you what, I think that's worse than the sugar itself. You know, you should really try to use more natural sweeteners like honey. You know, I know for myself, I had oatmeal this morning. And not those sugar-packed oatmeals, the real oatmeal. And you put a little natural honey on it. It's a great thing for your cholesterol in your body. When you're going to have water, put a little lemon in it for flavor. It's really healthy for you. You know, basically, it's garbage in, garbage out. I mean, if we use the example of a car, what if you put the lowest octane you could buy, lower than the car actually required to run? What if you put the cheapest grade oil, the cheapest tires, the cheapest windshield wipers? I mean, you get the picture. Would we really expect that car to run good? And if it did run good, even for a short period of time, do we think it would last? Of course not. But yet, that's what we do to ourselves. You know, I have some simple rules that I use for food. If God made it, eat it. If man made it, don't. Try to buy organic when possible. Things that we know don't have all the chemicals and processed steroids, antibiotics in them. Make sure with every meal that you have a fresh fruit or vegetable with it. Watch how you prepare your food. Bake and broil instead of fry. Eat wheat bread instead of white bread. Choose a sweet potato instead of a baked potato or French fry. You know, there's so many simple ways that you can improve the way you're eating. And if you just choose one, two, or three at a time, don't try to overwhelm yourself. You will transform yourself like you can't possibly imagine over the course of a year. But let's just look at this example a little bit deeper. And I know this may seem simple to many of you. But let's just say you ate fast food very frequently, 3 to 5 times a week for 20 years. Would you guess that you would be any healthier or would you be sicker after that 10 years? Yeah, I think you guessed right. And what might you get if you have a really poor diet? What if we have too much red meat that takes so long to process in our system? You know, even Harvard Medical School only recommends that you eat red meat a few times a month. We know that there's a link to colon cancer. So, you know, if you eat a lot of these foods over 10, 20 years, of course you've increased your chances of stroke, heart disease, cancer. You can make a difference. You just have to decide. Let's move to number two. The second essential for health is water. You know, God gave us a rule for water. You know, the whole world, when you look at it, is 70% water. Your fruits and vegetables are 70% water. Our bodies are 70% water. That is the law of life. But what do we drink? I know, soda, tea, coffee, alcohol. I mean, pretty much anything but water. And you know, water is critical because that's our filtration system. That's what helps filter out the toxins in our body. You know, you look at soda. You know, I was reading an article in Prevention Magazine, and it was called The Case Against Soda. And it's entitled, Why the Sweet Stuff Might Be as Bad for Your Health as Smoking or Drinking Excessive Alcohol. And I'm just going to read you a little piece of this. It says, most people would agree that their love affair with the sweet stuff, whatever flavor it might be, isn't all that healthy. But no one would put it in the same class as a truly bad habit such as smoking or drinking alcohol in excess, right? Wrong. Scientists are beginning to do just that. The bulk of research has focused on connecting the dots between consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages and weight gain. But there is mounting evidence that our national obsession with liquid candy affects more than just our figures. From the very first sip, experts say, cola starts to wreak havoc on the body. It corrodes the teeth, confuses the appetite-regulating hormones in the digestive tract. It attacks your bones and encourages the organ breakdown that leads to diabetes. You know, it's just that simple. I think there's enough information that we know it's not good for us. So let's really drink things other than soda, especially water. Look at coffee. You know, coffee's an interesting one because people wake up and they drink that every morning. And I'll ask people, you know, do you drink much coffee? And they'll say, well, just one. And I'm thinking one cup, which is okay. But they're talking about one pot. You know, you talk to ladies who start to develop actually nodules on their breasts, fibrocysts in their breasts. I mean, if coffee will change your body that bad, we know it can't be good for us. I think of my own kids. My kids have never had soda. I've actually had some people say, that's mean, Dr. Mark. And I just laugh. I say, are you kidding me? I'm trying to save them. And but when they were growing up, they're 12, my son Matthew is now, and my daughter Michaela is 15. But when they were 5 and 7 and they had never had soda, we were at a picnic. And all these kids were running around with, you know, Coke and Pepsi and, you know, Mountain Dew and Sprite and you name it. And they had these cans and they're all drinking it, telling my kids how good it is. So eventually my kids came up to me and they said, hey, Dad, can we try the soda? And I said to him, well, sure. I said, go get a can, whatever you'd like, because I knew at some point they would try it. So they brought over a can, and I filled two cups, and I'm telling you, they were giddy. They were just laughing. You know, this was going to be great. The soda's fizzing. And this is what happened. They both sipped it, and they both spit it out. Now, why would they spit it out? Because it tasted horrible. You know, it's amazing what we can train or acquire our taste to enjoy. And I think it starts when they're kids, because when you look at kids, they're drinking their mother's milk and juices. And then we slowly bring them over to soda, almost like it's a treat. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't do that, your kids will never be addicted to it. When you look at diet soda, that's an interesting one, because I'll have patients tell me, Doc, I don't drink regular soda. I drink diet. That's better for you, right? Well, this is what WebMD found out. What surprised us was that the total soft drink use was linked to overweight and obesity. And I should say what didn't surprise us was that total soft drink use was linked to overweight and obesity, Fowler tells WebMD. What was surprising was when we looked at people only drinking diet soft drinks, their risk of obesity was even higher. There was a 41% increase in the risk of being overweight for every can or bottle of diet soft drink a person consumes each day, Fowler said. That, again, is enough information for me to know that it's not good for us. Alcohol. Now, we don't have to talk long on that. Liver disease, memory loss. So just know that if you wait till you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated. Let's try to really focus on being a sipper. Have water with you all the time. Know that you're cleansing your body. It's almost like a natural detox when you drink 70 to 80% water. And then if you can keep the other 20 or 30% of what you're drinking to natural fruit juices, you'll feel a whole lot better. Number three is oxygenation. What do I mean by oxygenation? Well, whenever you breathe, the air goes in the lungs, and the lungs takes the oxygen and it brings it to the cells, and it infuses the cells with health and their ability to be strong. And when you don't take in enough oxygen, things get weak. That's why you need to exercise. It is absolutely critical. But people say, well, you know, I work, and that's enough exercise. Well, first of all, work, in my opinion, is just breakdown. And that's if you work physical enough to even take in more oxygen. But you need to exercise so that you can work. You need to look at that totally different. Let's just bring it to an extreme example. What if you were a smoker, again, for 10 or 20 years? Well, have you increased your chances of getting emphysema, lung cancer? That's right. You've increased it tremendously. You know what is sad to me? There are people who have emphysema. They're carrying the oxygen tank on their back, and they're still puffing. I don't get it. But what's even sadder than that is the person who will tell me, I can't quit, until they develop lung cancer, and then they quit. I don't even know why we allow cigarettes in this country. I mean, we know we're trying to solve the healthcare crisis. We know they cause lung cancer. We know they can lead to emphysema. You know, but we decide just to tax them and make more money on it. I mean, if we sold marijuana, we know that's bad for you. People would pony up more money to buy it, the people who wanted it. So they're doing the same thing with cigarettes. It makes no sense. But what you really need to understand is that not exercising is almost as bad as smoking. You are deteriorating every minute, every day that you don't use those lungs. So think about it. If you put a cast on a healthy arm, and I know this isn't just oxygen, but we're going to just talk about in general how the body atrophies. So the bone's not broke, and you put the cast on it. Within 24 hours, the muscles are atrophying. What that means is it's getting smaller and weaker. if you cut that cast off in 6 to 8 weeks, and those of you who've ever worn a cast, you know what I'm saying, it'll look like a toothpick just due to the lack of use. The old adage in science was use it or lose it. So we need to start using our bodies. One of the things I always hear my patients say is, I used to be able to, and you can fill in the rest of the sentence, you know, walk up that flight of steps, stack that wood without being tired, you know, a variety of things, run 2-3 miles. You can still do it. You just have to start with baby steps and then build up. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Now, the fourth essential to health is the one that's most overlooked, and that is nerve supply. Nerve supply is critical. That controls every muscle, organ, tissue, and cell in your body. In fact, you're legally dead when the brain stops sending electrical impulses to the rest of the body. The problem is that your nerve supply can be interfered with what's called a subluxation. And a subluxation means that there is a misalignment of your spinal vertebra. And it puts pressure on your nerves, which can lead to pain, headaches, dysfunction. And that's what chiropractors do. We detect and correct vertebral subluxation, any misalignments in the spine that cause nerve stress and bring your body to a lower state of health. But what I want to do is actually rank these four essentials so you can see where they are. You know, if you stopped eating, how long would you live? Well, we're going to use the rule of four to make this simple, but you can live about 4 weeks. If you stop drinking water, maybe 4 days. If you stop breathing, maybe 4 minutes. But if you stop getting nerve supply, less than 4 seconds, that's again when you're legally dead. So we realize that your nervous system is number one. It's the most important. Here's the good news, though. You can control 3 of them: food, water, and oxygen. You can decide today. And that's critical, because there's one thing I learned from my dad. He used to tell me this all the time. Mark, he'd say, the road named someday leads to a town called nowhere. And that goes like this, that, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll start after the holidays. I'll do that in a week. Because someday, you're not going to get it done. You'll be talking about that a year from now. Start making incremental changes today. Decide today you're only going to eat red meat once a week. Try it. You're going to not fry your foods for 30 days. You're going to drink more water on a regular basis. You're going to start exercising, even if it's just walking for 15 minutes. And you know, for exercise, people will always say, what's the best one, Dr. Mark? And I'll always give them the same answer. Whatever you like to do. Because if I tell you swimming's the best exercise and you can't swim, well, what good was that? Or if I say biking is really good and you don't have a bike and haven't rode a bike since you were 10 or 12 years old, that doesn't work for you. So if you tell me that you like to lift weights, you like to do aerobics, you like to swim, then that's what we'll incorporate into your program. But nerve supply can only be helped by your chiropractor, because if it's caused by a subluxation, if you have decreased nerve flow from a subluxation, we're the ones that are trained to detect and correct that. So to improve and maintain your nerve supply, you need to see a chiropractor. So if you suffer from neck pain, low back pain, chronic tiredness, headaches, sciatica, numbness in the arms and legs, carpal tunnel syndrome, osteoarthritis, fibromyalgia, you may be suffering from nerve stress. Let me just share a story with you. This was one, we have a testimonial book in our office, and patients will write down their experience with chiropractic. And I'm going to share one written by a friend of mine. And what she wrote was this: Dear Dr. Mark and Dr. Tammy, I just had to say thank you for the best Christmas present anyone ever gave me, hope. Until I came to you, my future looked depressing and bleak, a life full of pain, bent body, and inactivity, never being able to play with my children or enjoy activities I used to love, such as hiking and canoeing. You were an answer to many prayers. Thank you for all the good you are doing in our community and for those who come to you. May God bless you and your family this Christmas and always. Sincerely, Kathy. See, I see miracles occur every day. In fact, the best explanation of a miracle that I ever heard was miracles occur when impossibility is no longer an option. So, I have a special offer just for listening. And what we decided to do, myself and Dr. Tammy, was open 10 new patient appointments. For the first 10 callers who call in today and you leave your name, phone number, and that you heard about us on WJUN Radio, you will get our entire comprehensive chiropractic examination for just $27. Now, what will that include? Well, you'll get a comprehensive evaluation. You'll get a range of motion study, posture analysis, any necessary x-rays, and a thermography scan. That would normally cost $160. But if you call today and are one of the first 10 callers, you'll get that entire program for just $27. Call 436-9017. 436-9017. And again, 436-9017. Or you can learn more about us on our website. That's MifflinTownChiro.com. MifflinTown Chiro is C-H-I-R-O.com. And call today. You may get the most important checkup you have ever had in your life. Thanks for listening, and God bless. And I will be back with you in 2 weeks for your next Half Hour to Health.